Welcome to the Game Award, baby. A show famous for talking about video games, making lists of threes. I'm Darrell. In place for Romeo. I'm here with B-Dog. What's up, baby? What's good with it?
Is B-Dog here holding the crib down? You know. But it's whatever. I'm going to beat your monkey ass.
I'm going to beat your monkey ass.
Y'all niggas behave.
Wait your turn. I'm going to beat your monkey ass.
All right. I can't keep that. I can't keep doing that.
Oh, no, we want to make this a nigga show. Okay.
I can't have, you know, I let Darrell just have 4 seconds with the microphone and then he just can't control himself.
Yeah. He's out of control.
Yeah, seriously. Well, you know, he was raised by a single mother. So
there you go. Yep. It's actually the natural order, you know. Did you know that polygamy was actually more common in white cultures than black ones up until recent times?
Well, you know what? I have an answer for that. That's because in polygamy, the men would stay with the women instead of running away once they get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so not like a midnight creep and then a holler.
Yeah, so it was more common because any type of commitment among Africans is extremely rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I pulled that statistic out of the great beyond. I have no idea if it's true. Just FY information.
Well, it's most likely true based on the reason that I gave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. It's like, Tyrone. We are polygamous, whereas you are polyamorous. We are not the same, bro. You got 10 dudes sharing one Shaniqua, and you have no idea whose baby it is, so you all cut and run. Whoopsie daisies.
Mm-hmm. No, the sad thing about that in real life is two of those dudes wonder if that Shaniqua is actually their half-daughter.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually wonder.
I've known some.
They hope it is the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, duck the responsibility.
Yeah, I'm ducking responsibility.
So,
speaking about responsibility. Okay.
Go ahead.
Rolo, you were telling me about this direct responsible mechanisms or something that Capcom has. I assume that's what that stands for.
Digital restrictive media? Is that what DRM
is? Digital responsible media. Got you.
Digital responsible media. So, Capcom has added a bunch of DRM to a bunch of games. I guess it's on Steam. I don't know. I don't use Steam. It's either Steam or GOG. I'd assume Steam, but let's pretend it's
Steam. Steam. GOG is exclusively says they're DRM free.
Okay. All right. I haven't used GOG in a while. I have bought a few games off of GOG, but it's been a while since.
Yeah, they're good.
I used GOG. I got Heroes of Might and Magic 3 Complete Edition. Mm-hmm. Dungeon Keeper 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great game. And Diablo 1, which is also a great game. And with Steam, I only play Clue on it, which is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, as far as I know, none of the things I bought had DRM. So this is a new thing that it's kind of a new term that's thrown around in the ethos. It's called review bombing. So Resident Evil series is being review bombed, and the whole point of the term review bomb is kind of implying that it's coordinated and people have decided to band together to make something seem worse than it is. But the reality is gamers are not boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the dichotomy of controlling the right wing. See, people on the left, they'll do whatever people in power tell them. Like those are the weakest people. They are the most brainwashed losers, or they are like women with daddy issues or men with low T. You can tell them whatever. Do you remember that famous TikTok of the girl that's like, I'm a leftist, not a liberal, Bernie or bust. And then there was a picture of her on election day, like voting for Joe Biden. Like they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't have any principles. Where the right wing, it's a little different, where you can tell boomers what to do, where you can get boomers to love blacks and gays, pedos, I mean trannies, like what, pick your thing that should not be tolerated on the right. You can get boomers to like that. And that's kind of the difference between gamers, is all the things that they've tried to get video game players to like that boomers have accepted have been outright rejected. Almost everything, like things with like terrible art and things full of like blacks and Grand Theft Auto 6, all of these things are being rejected because gamers are not the same thing. We like our product, and it's like a boomer. If the Republican establishment says like this is the thing to like, they'll eventually come around to it. But if video game companies say this is the thing to like, it doesn't work like that. You have to actually give us something that we're going to sink our teeth into and want to spend time on. That's how it works. So putting all this DRM on games, DRM, it's another step towards taking the freedom away from video gamers, because that is definitely the goal. They don't want people to have physical copies of games. They want to be able to revoke your ability to play games because they want to hold that over your head as a threat. Like, oh, you want to play this game? Well, blah, blah, blah. I was talking to a friend of mine many years ago about how when you have digital media, because we were having the argument, digital versus physical media. When you have digital media, like you're buying it from Amazon or iTunes or whatever, there is, and that goes for video games too, Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, even Nintendo. There, when you buy digital media, there is a clause in there that basically says at any time they can revoke your right to use it. Now, when you ask them about it, they'll say, oh, that's just a formality, you know, standard boilerplate, blah, 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 legal jargon. But I was telling a guy, at any point, if they deem you persona non grata, everything that you've paid for, it's all gone. And you're not getting that back. And he said, oh, I think you could sue someone over that. I'm like, you're gonna sue Amazon?
Yeah.
Like what do you get?
Persona non grata. And you're like, how dare you?
Yes, exactly. That's a good pun.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, thank you. Persona non grata, and they just take it away. I mean, for example,
Is that the episode title, by the way?
It could be. I don't know. But yeah, because we're going to be talking about DRM for a bit. Like, just take the music industry. If you have a CD, your schnoody new Lexus isn't going to be like, this CD was determined to be hate speech. Bye-bye, CD. Whereas on Spotify, David Allan Coe, he had a song, If That Ain't Country, I'll Kiss Your Ass. And he said, trying like the devil to find the Lord, working like a nigger for my room and board. Coal burning stove, natural gas. If that ain't country, I'll kiss your ass. And it's banned from everywhere. So you can only find it on YouTube, you know? And he even self-censors in concerts when he sings that song now. Yep. And it's just like, but it's not on Spotify. It's on like 50 of my playlists and it's gone. And it's just like back to square one.
Yeah. And this is the plan, and it's how you curate what people watch. And that's how you get people to think the way you think, because almost everything everyone believes they get through fiction media. And I'm going to count Fox News as part of that. Like, obviously CNN, MSNBC is, you know, as liberal as it gets, but you don't need to get your politic, like your liberal politics there when you could just watch any TV show or any movie. Most people that believe what they believe, it's very rare. And we're talking about the average person. It's very rare that it is because of life experiences. Like, we believe what we believe because of life experiences, because we saw that reality contradicts fantasy. But the people that are outside our circles, just the, which is 99% of the world, they believe what they believe because they got it from TV and movies. And so when they see reality, they think that's the outlier.
Yeah.
And and if you can control what people are watching or playing, then you can have everybody believing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, you think about
elder abuse.
The elder abuse, you think about that one. And then you also think about, like, inheritance, you know? You're like, my Steam library is worth $100,000, even though most of the games are now banned for being banned by the New Earth Good Government League. But I give it to you now. And they say, no, there's no way you're 150 years old, Bobby. There's no way. So your son, he gets scratch. And then he has to. But that's not going to be a thing, because even like purchasing it via the like Steam, for example, they're probably going to do away with that and have it just subscriptions, because they've already talked about it enough. GTA 6, it's going to be a subscription. It's not.
Well,
gonna be...
they said they want it to be a subscription. Yes. And I think they are going to. I think they're going to see ground on that, because the reception to it was so poor.
Yeah. They're going to make like a lot of the game subscription based, like the online stuff.
Guaranteed. I don't think so. I think they want it. I think too many people are going to hate it. And I think they're going to do whatever they can to just sell copies of the game, and no one will buy a subscription for it.
Yeah, but in various games, you have like seasons and season passes. I guarantee there's going to be some kind of element like that. Yeah.
Oh, the game will be riddled with microtransaction. Like, going back to like what we were talking about with the new Star Wars Battlefront. Like, you could probably buy $100 million GTA 6 money for probably like $100, where grinding it'll take you like 400 hours to get that much.
Yeah.
So they're going to sell all that stuff. Like, they're going to sell helicopters, they're going to sell guns, they're going to sell fedoras, they're going to sell all the cosmetics, and it's going to be pay to win for sure. And the grind online, it's going to be very C-. Bobby, what was your impression of GTA 5?
Online. I think I was too old at the time, because it was just like walking down the street and somebody drops a jet on me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was never, tempted to join the role playing servers and be like, well, hello there, governor. And hey, that's an RDM. You know, I just want to go Rambo, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And meet the sheriff, and people are like playing police officer. That wasn't really tempting for me. I'm not knocking it. I just think I wasn't of the generation where that was really all that tempting.
That's kind of the consensus that I've got from the game. A lot of people are not too thrilled with GTA 5 online. A lot of people are playing it, don't get me wrong. But all the people I know that play it, like, yeah, I play it. It's, you know, it's okay. It's not great.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I've heard the same thing. Like, it's a fun thing to do when you want to get, you know, maybe have a beer or two and fuck around with your buddies for an hour or two, but it's not like something you want to put actual time into.
Especially when it sounds like it is something that you need to put probably 100 hours minimum into. It's almost like a different version of WoW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And yeah, only shark this bucks. Version, people can just randomly drop a jet on you. And it's okay, because they'll spend another $100 to get a new jet.
Yeah, and so the thing is, like, in a vanilla server, it's pure anarchy. And the people that pay to win, they win a lot. And you, as like, I'm a principled guy, I only grind. I remember, you know, back in the day, you had to play the game 100 hours for one AK-47. And then these kids are just buying it for with the mommy's credit card. Or so you have total anarchy, or these rigidly controlled like RP servers where you get like some 9-year-old kid that invites you to a sit down because you accidentally punched somebody because you fumbled with your controller. Now, that was a random act of violence. What were you thinking there? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also want to clarify what I mean about Grand Theft Auto 6. I think their plan is what they want is online and offline. You pay like $5 a month to do it. Ooh. Like whatever it is. I think that's what they want. And I think the reception to it has been so much worse than they've wanted. And it's not going to get better the more promotion that they show.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to just throw in microtransactions instead of doing that like WoW style, because the thing is, WoW was pretty much the only game that was able to accomplish that. Like, there were a few other games that, you know, minor hits, not too big a deal, like Final Fantasy 14, that got along for a little bit. There was that, it was like Black Desert or something. There were a few games that they tried to do that for a little while. I don't know if Conan Exiles ever did that, but that I think
I don't
it
think
tried
it did. To, no, they had like expansions that you paid for, but that was it.
Okay, yeah, because a lot of those the MMORPGs, a lot of companies tried to replicate the success of World of Warcraft, and
Elder
none of them,
Scrolls or, Online, yeah,
that one, yeah, and wasn't that a huge failure?
Based on the fact that I have a lot of gamer friends and none of them played it more than 5 minutes, yes.
Okay, that because that's what I thought. I thought I had one buddy that tried it, and he's like, "This sucks." There was another one. Gosh dang,
it was all of my WoW guys, you know, and we played on like private servers and stuff and loading screens and oh gee whiz, I got in, you know, and
that's not a good sign.
Yeah, well, you know, they're private servers. It's what a man does in the privacy of his own server is, well, never mind, there's a lot of bad things you can do with a server, so let's just walk that back. but you know, it was interesting to play that because I played, you know, WoW vanilla for several months and then stopped and then went to private servers and they had different mods and freaky stuff.
I remember. Okay, I thought you were talking about Elder Scrolls Online.
No.
Okay, yeah. Okay, never mind. That makes more sense. Okay. I remember the other one I was thinking of that was the huge failure was Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, all these games,
they've tried really hard to make these subscription-based big games, and you could say, well, Grand Theft Auto is not an MMORPG. It's like, not really, but it kind of is. Like Grand Theft Auto Online, it's still a big open-world sandbox where you run around doing very specific things to that. Now, granted, you know, you're not going to go talk to an elf and then go kill some pigs and sell pig meat, but you're going to do something that's pretty standard of video games as far as quests and dailies and raids and whatever. It's going to be very similar, and I think that's what they want it to be, especially with the budget. And I wonder what the budget for World of Warcraft was, because I'm sure it's not that it was low, but it probably was nowhere near as high as Grand Theft Auto 6's.
Yeah. When you have a compact team of like good coders and artists where diversity is not the main thing. You don't need
But is it our strength?
It is our strength when it comes to union activity, you know, but that's what Amazon learned. But when you're like making an aircraft, for example, you don't want three different white guys to check that the Pajit was able to put in the bolts for the engine.
No, you do not.
And yeah, so that's kind of what I've seen with a lot of these older games that were high quality. They had small compact teams that just were able to do the job, and they had big success with it.
Well, I mean, that goes with any creative work and project. Once you get above a certain size for the scale of your project, too many people, you know, too many fingers in the pot, you start to lose the scope and goal of what you were trying to create. Like for Elder Scrolls Online, they wanted an online Elder Scrolls game. What you got instead was an Elder Scrolls paint job over everything people hated about MMOs. Fallout 76, people wanted multiplayer Fallout 4. What they got was absolute shit across the board. No NPCs, had to be always online, servers were always crashing, you could barely play with your friends, you know, and not to mention all the shit with like the pre-order bag that was an absolute piece of shit. And they said, yeah, we're not actually going to make up for the fact that you paid money and we sent you something that you could have bought at like, you could get better quality bags like a goddamn Goodwill or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just it. Like, it's weird when a big company has server issues when they can't even figure that out.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. Mm. And there's nothing that'll piss you off more than something outside of your control hindering your gameplay.
Yeah. Oh, no, Bobby, day launch day of 76. I installed it. I played it. They didn't have NPCs back then. I think new patches uploaded, but I haven't bothered to play it since it hurt me so bad. You know, I've been burned, so to speak. But literally, as I'm picking up one of the millions of fucking notes, you know, the audio logs telling the story, the server went down in the middle of the audio log. And then it's like reloading, finding their server, reloading. It reloaded me into the area, having already marked that I got the audio log, so I can't get it anymore. And then on top of that, it loaded me in the middle of a pack of hostile ghouls that I already... So I literally loaded in to the sound of ghouls beating my ass and killing me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried to reload, server's down, and then after it was down for another 10 minutes, I said, this is ass. And I uninstalled it, and I reinstalled Fallout 4 and said, fuck this.
Yeah. And that's the way she goes. And you know, you go to a restaurant and then you catch gonorrhea. You're not going to, maybe I should give it another chance. Maybe they fixed the recipe.
Well, I can't get it. I can't get it twice.
Exactly. HIV never strikes twice in the curry, but actually it strikes every single day.
Mm. Yeah, no, it was awful. But yeah, Rolo, you were telling us about this DRM thing here.
Well, what do you want to know?
Oh, well, so many things. What I saw, and the main complaint I saw about it, I started looking at it, is Capcom swapped DRMs, and the new DRM does not fucking play nice with anybody. So literally, it would brick up on Steam machines.
Well, to me, that's a lesser issue. I mean, that's a big problem. Don't get me wrong.
Like, yeah, but specifically, they added it to old games.
Yeah, right. But that, to me, it's more that they're adding it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been a long-standing issue with anybody who isn't aware of it, you know, you're new to the scene, so to speak, DRM is supposed to be an anti-piracy measure. What it actually does is basically almost all of them and say if you use anything other than the most basic bit standard Windows thing, if you're lucky, some are really nice with Apple, that it will read your operating system as piracy, and then you can't play your game. You pay for this game. You pay for this game, and some of them, they come on discs. They had DRM on the disc, and I had this happen one time where, because I had a disc drive that could write, you know, remember when disc writing and, you know, burning disc was a novel thing? DRMs would read a writable disc drive as potential piracy.
Yeah, because he can burn a disc, he must have burned this one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, I'm trying to install you, you son of a bitch. So all that stuff just snowballs out. And then Capcom, not only putting it in their newer games, but they swapped up older games and started putting the DRM on them, causing them to become completely incompatible. Now, supposedly they've fixed the issue, or they are fixing the issue.
Only because everybody pushed back.
Exactly.
But here's the thing though. There's no way they didn't know that this would cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. They had to know. And this reminds me of that old Internet Aristocrat video that was called Fuck Video Games. And he was just talking about all these things that they added to games. Like, oh, if something has, you know, if the games have, if they're released untested with bugs, oh, that's fine. Oh, if they have restrictive DRM, that's fine. If they have 852 pieces of DLC, well, that's just Capcom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was a gradual boiling of the frog of people being okay with it, but now it's causing real problems. Games aren't getting better as far as, I mean, games are getting better. But I do want to talk about this later. Maybe I wanted to talk about it last week, but I don't think I got into it. But games are getting better, but they're not getting so much better that people are able to put up with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because games got, I want to say that the PS3 360 era, that was where like gaming hit like the perfect stride. Like Resident Evil 5, Batman Arkham Asylum, God of War 3. Like, this is where we got like perfect graphics, perfect gameplay, perfect control, and everything felt really cinematic. And we can always go back to that era of gameplay where now, if you're going to put all this BS on us, like, you can slap us with a subscription or restrictive DRM or a bunch of things that essentially make it so we don't own the games. Because if you've ever bought a digital game, it pretty much says in the user agreement that you're just renting it. You're paying for the license to use it. You don't actually own a digital copy of the game. That's what those all say. So that's the greater issue, is, and this is why I like physical media, because I like to be able to own my thing. I only recently started buying digital games, and it's only for smaller games, like, you know, a big release. Like, I'm not going to get the digital version of Hogwarts Legacy. Like, I want a disc version of that game. Like, unless I'm able to buy it for like $10, something super cheap, where it's where like, even if they revoke it, like, whatever, I probably wasn't playing that anymore anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they are trying to remove the freedom of how we play the games. Like, even going back to something as simple as Nexus mods. Like, you know, you can't remove the gay flags from Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. How dare you? Like, oh, so you're telling me I can't mod the game to make it how I want. Okay. So you get to tell me how I want to play my game. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And speaking of that, I said this with guys earlier. I was going to try check out that Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader thing. And I happened to just like, oh, I'm going to read the terms of agreements here. And I noticed on section 2.2 of on section 2 of the end user license agreement for use of software titled Warhammer 40,000 Rogue Trader. No changes or reverse engineering, except as provided in section 2.2 below. You are prohibited from altering, merging, adapting, decompiling, decoding, reverse engineering, disassembling, modifying, translating into other languages, or any way changing the game or any of its content or components. No hacking or cheating, no change of copyright information. But 2.2, mods. Should you wish to affect any actions outlined in section no changes or reverse engineering above, please contact us for obtaining approval at mod@owlcat.games. Please note that we highly appreciate the contribution you may make to the game. However, we reserve the right to review each request and, in our sole discretion, accept or reject it if necessary. Please note that approval may only be granted in case you agree A, not to cause or permit the sale or other commercial distribution or commercial exploitation of any modification submitted by you, and B, to grant us a non-exclusive, worldwide, royalty-free, sub-licensable, and transferable license, one, to use, reproduce, distribute, prepare, derivative works of, display, perform, and otherwise exploit in any manner whatsoever any modifications made by you or any portion thereof in the game, as well as via any media now known or thereafter developed, and two, to advertise, market, and promote the same. That word salad basically means that, and I checked it, I thought it was weird, because Owlcat Game makes like the Pathfinder games and such like that. I checked it. The same kind of thing is used in like Bethesda games, and the Bethesda games with the creation engine has always been extremely, you know, friendly to potential being modded. But what this shows is that in the industry already, all times you just press agree because you want to play your games, they have a thing. They're saying you're not actually allowed to mod your games. If you do mod it without our permission, we can just cut. Well, that's a violation of the license. We can take it any time. And also, so you have to contact us and get our permission, and we can say no. And if we ever do say yes, we are allowed to take those mods and use them however we want and give you nothing. Now, obviously, this is typically seen as a way for a company to protect itself. Like, for instance, when the Killable Children's mod came out on Nexus for Skyrim. But on the flip side, I actually reached out to people who were, let's just say our guys' kind of games and asked them about their EULA. This kind of thing could theoretically, probably not ever actually going to, but could theoretically, if you made a good game and some fucking faggot went ahead and made it gay as hell, you could theoretically try and revoke their license to play the game. But, of course, our people never do that. But rest assured, you somehow make a mod, a really great mod, you know, removing flags or anything like that. It doesn't have to be Nexus mods. Developers and game makers themselves can just revoke your ability to play a game. So, yeah, always buy physical copies if you can.
But to counter that, if anyone were to make a good game gay, they never would, because anything that would be cool enough that homos would want to ruin, they'll just demand that Steam or whatever digital store just doesn't carry it.
Very true. Well, they tried. Remember, they tried it also with Hogwarts Legacy, and look how that turned out.
Yeah, but that game wasn't based.
Oh, very true, but
there's things that we look at and say, wow, that's funny, like having a Star of David in the bank, and obviously goblins are Jews, and it's just mm-hmm. it's subconscious in J.K. Rowling's brain, but Mm-hmm. But like the people that made it weren't like, you know what, 1488 Harry Potter. No. Like these people that complain about stuff like that, their brains are pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Like they watch so much TV. Like I met someone recently and they described Snape as a racist piece of shit. Like that is the level of pudding brain that this person's mm-hmm. at. Like they're just so offended by Harry Potter characters.
Yeah.
That it, like, if the game isn't about two black guys like whacking each other's dicks with their dicks, then like that's mm-hmm. offensive.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet that game is available on Steam now. Don't they allow like porno games there now?
Well, to a degree, yeah, they definitely do. So I wouldn't be surprised. So I'm not going to look it up because I don't want to start getting those kind of suggestions.
Yeah,
well, something you might be interested in, bathhouse simulator.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, San Francisco simulator. Bug chasing simulator.
We see that you looked up suicide instructions. Would you also like gay niggas eating pudding simulator? Like, why? Yeah. Yes, I would. This would go great with my attempts to commit suicide.
Yeah.
The cause of anyway.
What is it like the Depression Quest version 2?
Yeah, exactly. that's just
watching black people eat pudding.
I remember there was some game like that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Depression Quest.
Yep.
One of my favorites.
It's not as good as I Have Shingles, Make It Stop Hurting, but it's still a pretty fun game that the whole family could enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Gone Home?
Mm. No.
It was a game. It got like a perfect score on, I can't remember. I think it won Game of the Year, and it's a game you could beat in 8 minutes. You play as like a lesbian teenager or something, and it's presented as a mystery. Like it's literally set in Portland in the 90s.
You're
a lesbian teenager, and you have to figure out where everyone went, and at the end of the game, it turns out like your brother went to his friend's house, and your parents went out to dinner. It's like the stupidest game, and mm-hmm. it won Game of the Year. It's so dumb, but that's kind of where the whole Gamergate thing started.
Yeah.
Where people are why did this game get such good reviews? But and all these retards were like, oh, it's so progressive. You play as a lesbian teenage girl. It's so great.
It's groundbreaking. It's never been tried before. All right, Rollo, you bigot. Mm-hmm. Come on. It's never been tried before. In other games, you try to have something epic happen. But in this one, you're just trying to find your love and make them transition in time for, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of bad games out there. And I remember that they were paying people to review stuff. And that's been documented.
Yeah, they were paying them with blowjobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as in like blow your head off.
Well, I mean that's what we were doing.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, they were blowing them and telling us to suck start a shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was either that or play the game.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I picked a shotgun.
Yeah.
The easy way out.
Yes, the easy way out. I took the easy way out that time, yeah. You know, speaking about stupid games, you know, well, you were talking about Fortnite earlier, and I see that they've ruined the Metal Gear Solid characters they brought in there.
Well, they unsexied them. One, Raiden just looks stupid.
Yeah.
It looks worse than a bad cosplay of Raiden.
Mm-hmm.
they took out Snake's perfect buns.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he has less of a bulge than Michelle Obama.
Well, yeah. Everyone has less of a bulge than Michelle Obama.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but look, but we're talking about from Metal Gear Solid 2. Look at that bulge, and then look at this Fortnite.
Yeah, he's from Nantucket.
Not yeah, well, not no more. He ain't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and there's lore reasons for Snake going ahead and having that perfect ass. I mean, all the times you were having him crouch walk everywhere.
Exactly.
Have you ever actually tried to do that? It is work, let me tell you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of funny stuff here. I don't know. I don't know why you would do that, because this is something that I've talked about a bunch. Like, if you're gonna like give me like sexy female characters, but I want like guys with like skimpy underwear and a bow tie, because I think that would be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But Raiden should be even sexier. Like,
they turned him into a twink.
The bulge mm-hmm. should be like twice as big as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the bulge should be bigger than Michelle Obama's. That's what it should be.
But they turned him into a twink.
They turned him into like a tranny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Post-op.
Like, yeah. I don't think they play the games. That bulge is the reason that they had a full-on Patriot, like world-controlling AI thing, try to gaslight him into doing the entire plot of Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty. That bulge right there. And they got rid of it.
Well, that bulge right there, that was why Rose was holding on the whole time, because the whole mm-hmm. time Rose is like, talk to me. And he's like, get away from me, you bitch. But like, she just wanted that. She wanted what was in those pants.
Yeah.
She knew what he was bringing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, not anymore.
He had a kid by him. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not anymore. No more kids now.
Is there going to be lore where, like, this Raiden is, like, the mystery time between Metal Gear Solid 2 and Raiden going full cyborg?
Maybe. Like, they gave him a cyborg body that has no dick.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know what? I already took my dick. I might as well just go full cyborg. No, that's just terrible. It's awful. I hate it. Like, you literally, it's the thank you, I hate it meme.
Yeah, I don't like this unsexying of everything.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you could make the argument, like, Fortnite is a game, like, two types of people play it. Little kids and brain dead titty streamers. Because mm-hmm. it's free, and retards, I guess, will watch it. But mm-hmm. like, if there's ever, like, if a porn star streams video games, it's always Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see, like, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't expose this, you know, this the armadillo in his trousers to little kids. Like, that might be inappropriate. I don't think that's the reason why. I think just a bunch of faggots.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, with those porn stars that I was looking at, one of them.
You're looking at a porn star?
Well, I was looking up one of them, you know, the streamers, because there's controversy. Apparently, it's a common thing that a lot of them, they just have, like, a boyfriend of theirs or something go ahead and play the game, and they just pretend it's theirs.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. It's like one of us rolls in there, plays it. You know, we play it behind a sheet in the wall.
Yeah, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, there's a hole in the sheet there, you know, for us to peek through.
All right, Ruckus, here's your $100. Now get the fuck out, okay?
Okay, there was this guy. He was streaming some UFC fight on Twitch. Mm-hmm. But he was holding a controller and making it look like he was
playing. I remember that, yeah.
That's classy.
So it's like that.
Mm. That was just a way for him to troll so he could stream the pay-per-view fight.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't think Dana plays. He will, you know, sue him within inches of his life. So hope the troll was worth it.
I think he did.
I think the troll was worth it. I thought it was really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But has your bottom line been impacted, you know?
Mine? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Fortnite, Abby, you shared apparently, at least over in the UK, the UK government is saying, hey, yeah, fuck Apple, fuck Google. Fortnite can do what they want in terms of, I guess, microtransactions.
Yeah. So basically, they passed this Digital Markets Act, and it's more of a, what do you call it, a open markets librarian kind of thing. They're like, you guys are these monolith, you know, situations. And if there's no alternative store and you just ban a game for no reason because they're not kicking up enough shekels, that's not really acceptable. Just like they didn't like it when Apple had their exclusive like lightning port cable. They're like, yeah, USB-C is what is standard and open source, and it interfaces with a lot of headsets, this, that, the other. So you guys are going to have to use that, or you're going to face a big fine per phone, you know? And so they don't like these gatekeeper tech companies that control access to everything and the internal market. So either you have to have another app store that's open that people can subscribe to, or you got to just open her up. And Fortnite is doing some victory laps because that means that they're going to be coming back this year. And, Epic Games is pretty stoked. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But who wants to play Fortnite on their phone? This has got to be like a Zoomer or whatever the next generation is. The silent generation.
What I think it is, I think it goes back to that whole, like, girls are, like, make up a majority of video gamers, and they're taking like Flappy Bird and Angry Birds and Eat Like a Bird or whatever kind of bird games they have into account, where they're like, well, look how many people play Fortnite, but they're ignoring that the only people that play Fortnite are like 9 and 10 year olds because parents let them play it because the game is free, so they don't have to shell out $70 for a brand new next gen game.
So
it's like you can play it on your phone. It's like, well, people aren't gonna want to play it on their phone because like they're already playing it on their console.
Yeah, precisely. But you know, an open market is better, and I think Europe in general is better about this stuff because, you know, we preach all this free market stuff, but what it means is like anarchy market. And, you know, you just ban a song and you ban a game and ban a developer for no reason other than that they don't want to kick back like 30% and you're able to subscribe via your like computer. And they're like, no. If there's any subscription in this game, you can't use your computer to do it. You have to do it through the Apple Store, where we get our 30% and our developer fee each year per developer, you know, and it's just like, they're like, no, dude, come on. They were on their computer and now they're just like accessing their inventory and, you know, doing something with their skins. Come on, take it easy. And it's like, nope, to play here, you got to play by these rules. And like, even like food and stuff in Europe is regulated better. Like there's something called meat glue where you can glue together portions of meat and create this monstrosity. It's banned in the EU, but it's open saison here in the US. Yeah. So you go to the store and you're like, oh, that's a pretty good steak, and it's like, no, it's cut. You know, they cut up a bunch of different things, glue it together. It looks like a whole thing, but it's really just like beef trimmings from all the undesirable things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But of course, your regular steaks will be labeled like New York and, you know, sirloin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not like a huge problem, but it's just an example of the mindset where the government is trying to protect the constituents from their own retardation and the predatory nature of these companies. They're like, yeah, we're going to pump the brakes there a little bit. And then here it's like, oh, open season. Free market will win. Oh, if you don't like the meat glue meat, then the free market economics, you'll just buy the one that's not glued together, even though it costs three times as much. And people don't do that. You know?
Right. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous. And that's the problem with that. And then you have the game subscriptions where, oh, people just do whatever they want. And the thing can do it like, I think these places really need to relearn their place. It's like, have you guys, I mean, speaking about fast food, have you actually done the math? Like, you remember McDonald's? You remember the dollar menu?
I don't remember McDonald's. Who are they? Are they like a two like family or something?
Yeah, yeah, you know, and they were going ahead doing stuff. You remember the dollar menu, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
With you know, where it's like, fuck, I have like $3 to my next paycheck. I need a burger, you know? Now they've got done away with the dollar menu, done with all the stuff. The price keeps going up. On average, if you would go to Chick-fil-A or something like that, quote unquote higher class stuff, not an actual restaurant though, compared to McDonald's, you're spending on average like $1.50 more.
Yeah.
And McDonald's is lowering the quality, and they're like, oh, yeah, you got to buy it because, like, no. Relearn your fucking place, trash. Okay? So your cheap garbage that was supposed to be decent enough to get by, now you want to make it even more garbage, which they only do that over here because all the shit they put into it over here, they don't do over in Europe because it's illegal there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I used to work at a Subway, and I remember when this shit came out about where over in Europe, Subway's bread legally couldn't be sold as bread.
Yeah. It was a, what do you call it? A crevasse or no, that's not the right word. They said this has such high sugar content
that you're actually sold like a pastries. Donut shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. They had to classify them as pastries as opposed to bread.
Yes. Oh, no, you're not a sub shop. You're a pastry with meat on it.
You're a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Basically. You're a Dunkin' Donuts without the coffee.
Yeah. And it's like meat glue at, or not meat glue, the pink slime at Taco Bell, you know. And people hear about it and they just like don't care. You know, we don't realize how much of a creatures of habit we can be. And then you're like, do you see what you're eating, bucko? You know?
Well, that was kind of my point, is that that's what the gaming industry has kind of counted on gamers being. It's like they've tricked, like these big companies have tricked us into so many bad things that, like, why shouldn't they trick us into all the bad habits in gaming? Like, why shouldn't they trick us into accepting restrictive DRM? Why shouldn't they trick us into game about spicy Latina with who don't need no man that's killing all these horrible white people? Why shouldn't they trick us into wanting to play Starfield?
Yeah. And related to that is this like TOS, TLDR. That's a website, and it just kind of it breaks down. You know, you see the terms of service and you're like, all right, how many check boxes do I have to check so that I can click okay so that I can do whatever I'm doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And people in the aughts were real concerned with privacy. So they created this TOSDR.org, and it just breaks it down for you. And you can look in Facebook. They can read all your DMs, you know. Oh, YouTube. They track you across. It just shows you how it's checkmate, you know, and it's all about mm-hmm. privacy, and they give like a privacy rating. That's not a surprise to anybody, but
yeah.
knowing what's in the terms of service is a, it can kind of save you every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said that's,
but they know, they know that you don't read the terms of service, and that's why they make it so long. Do you remember the controversy over it was either, I think it was an omnibus, and it was something like Ted Cruz was he was kind of breaking it all down. He's like, well, this is what they got here, and then here it says this here, but it was like a 6,000 page bill, and no one was going to be able to read it.
Yeah.
It was something insane. And he was pointing out that so much of it was redundant, and it was clear that it was designed that way so no one would read it. And that's why they make the TOS like that, because you're not going to read it. You just want to play your game. Like I don't care. Now, there was an episode of South Park, and the episode itself was not very good. It's called The Human Centipede. It was the one where they were like pooping into each other's mouths, because
yeah.
that was the terms of service that they accepted. But the whole point was that no one reads the terms of service, which mm-hmm. is, you know, a good enough point to be making. Like, oh yeah, the terms of service, it says whatever you want it to be. And in this episode, it was just kind of addressing that, and it's true, but nobody remembers that aspect of the episode. They just remember the Japanese guy eating the burrito and pooping in Kyle's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's very true, but they were forced into this human centipede because they didn't read the terms of service.
Correct.
And that's what Apple is doing to us daily, and Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, not just Apple.
Good guy. Yeah, there's no good guy. That's like big tech. It's like, I really have my back. No, they don't.
Google, don't be evil. Don't be like Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, all these big tech companies, they exist to make your life as inconvenient and terrible as possible. It's like how I want to say it was Google, where they had a deal with the NSA's PRISM program. Like these companies, they work with the enemies of the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The mafia.
In a way, yes. But that's what they're doing. They're not like trying to get rich, and they're like, oh, we'll show these kids. Ha ha ha. No, they are working with the enemies of the world to undermine your privacy. Because it's just easier for the government to ruin your life if they know every aspect of what you're doing. And that's where I think a lot of this, I guess the social media, that's where it all kind of stemmed from.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way to get everyone to just make everything they already had public. So they didn't really need to spy as hard, because you just put your name and your phone number and your workplace and your school, and in your, well, I mean, of course, in your DMs, you're sending pictures of your penis to your neighbor, and then he's sending it back, and you're just, you know, you're just comparing sizes because you both have a hot date tonight.
Oh, gee whiz.
No, don't get me wrong, Bobby. That was okay when you did that.
But it all
compounded this way, where it was initially, it just started out like, well, we can just have everyone just tell us everything about them.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about anything. And then, then slowly we'll work towards spying on everybody.
Well, you always wanted to be a celebrity. You can create your own celebrity page about yourself, and then you can upload, oh, look at this cute pic of me, in the sand dunes of the Serengeti.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, and all your travel pics that just depress the hell out of everybody, so everyone became their own, agent for this, serotonin dopamine game of likes and valleys. And yeah, it's just nuts. And they really took people out with that. There was allegedly a CIA thing they wanted to have, Life Leak or something, or Life Vault, some kind of system that they, a project that they had. And then they shut down the project. And then the next year, Facebook was invented. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but if you look at the way things are, I remember when I created a Facebook in the aughts, you could call yourself whatever, and I did. And then years later, I was like, I wonder if I can create one for a pseudonym. And they're like, this person does not exist. You have to have a real person with a government ID if this is a real one, because they had never heard of this this whippersnapper, this alias, And so Facebook itself said, you are not a real person. Oh, you're also on a VPN, pal? Yeah, bye-bye. So they have all these tools at their disposal, and they want it to be not anonymous. They want it to just be organic human people that are sharing everything about themselves with this demonic app.
And anything that they don't share, they can always pry it out of your DMs. So no matter what, if you're just on social media, if they want your info, they'll get it. So if you're out there, I don't put anything on there. Because I met a bunch of people that are on Facebook, I don't put anything on there. They're not getting anything from me. You want to bet?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that the government, if they want something from you, they'll just give up? Do you honestly think that? The biggest investigation in the history of the FBI is hunting down the J6 people. Did you know that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't care. Your privacy is means nothing to them. In fact, your privacy is a problem for them.
Uh-huh. I heard about something related to that. Bank of America, right? The Patriots that they are. As soon as they heard about January 6th, they sent the banking info and the personal information of anybody that could have been there. So, I was just getting a Snapple from the vending machine, and oofta, here they are visiting me, and that's not the truth, but people got caught like that. And they were like, I never went inside. I was outside. Do you have proof of that? Huh? Did you document everything and live stream it like Baked Alaska? No. All right. Then we got you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, shit, if you were just in the general area of DC driving.
Yeah.
Well, people, a lot of really stupid people think that, my constitution, I'm still innocent until proven guilty. No, that's not how it works. What they do,
you're in a jail cell.
No, well, yeah, exactly. They'll hold you in that jail cell for 16 months, and then they find you innocent. You're innocent after, months of black prison guards just beating you mercilessly and, letting you get raped and murdered. You're free to go. Yeah, no problem.
Even Tucker reported on that. He said that a lot of the prison guards didn't even speak English, you know? So you got like roots in reverse. You got some Somalian who's just beating you up within inches of your life all day long. And yeah, you know,
your name is Kotagimi. My name is John Smith. It's Kotagimi.
Yes, your name is Boy.
Boy. Yeah. Imagine Kunta Kinte, you know, hosing you down in a prison cell three times a day just because, you know, it's his first water gun.
Yeah.
I had a nightmare about that last night.
Mm. Was it on Elm Street?
How'd you know? Actually, it was right before Christmas.
Okay.
But, you know, it's an honest mistake.
I feel like you guys are just signaling that you've been keeping tabs on me because I watched both of those within the past 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, you just posted it on Facebook, you dumbass.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shit, my bad.
Yeah, on your Netflix, you have a share, you know, history with family and kin and, you know, I just did a reverse lookup with your phone number and it's like, here's his stuff. With Netflix, hey,
I didn't actually watch Cuties that long. Okay, it was just on pause.
Yeah, exactly.
Ruckus, it takes that into account. Okay.
No, it doesn't. You're lying.
And that's the thing that people don't realize. It's like this big data. They always talk about if it's free, you're the product. Okay. Well, what does that actually mean? It means that like they can kind of track your politics pretty much based on what you choose to see and not see, you know, you see Cuties on your front page.
What'd you say? Huh?
Yes. So you see Cuties on your front page every day on Netflix and you're like, ah, shucks. And you like right click, do not recommend ever, you know? And they're like, whoopsie daisy. Somebody is not very progressive. Mm-hmm. Oh, he wanted to watch this other thing instead. What, a white guy beating up a bunch of shucks. And you know, they sell that with your email to Google, who sells it to Amazon, and then they're you know, recommending you these new protein bars that are great because they have cricket formula in them.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say because they have Mr. Beast on them.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, you get more Mr. Beast videos, and yeah, it's just it's a
you get cycle. Mr. Beast protein bars.
Yeah, and they can probably steer a lot of things from the shadows when they have this complete picture of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've searched for things before, and then it's not there anymore. You know. Mm-hmm. I'm flying to British Columbia, and then it says, oh, that will be $250 round trip. And I say, great. And then I sit on it. And then the next day, I search for the flight. Now it's $1,000. That's because there's a cookie in the browser that says, this isn't his first rodeo. He really wants to get to British Columbia for the trucker protest. And then, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So people, they need to be aware of this. And like if you ever open like a private tab or incognito to check out these things, they don't like it because there's no cookies. And they're like, verify that you're not that you're a human, please, because we don't have any cookies.
Verify you're not a human.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We ain't got no cookies on you. You ain't even logged into Amazon, Gmail, YouTube. We don't know your whole existence, fam. Come on, man. Don't do that. Coming up like a stranger and shit looking for flights. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. This is a serious question. Do you think that Joe Biden watched Cuties?
I think that he was on the set of Cuties.
There's not a single little girl in that movie he didn't smell the hair of.
Yes, and he was actually a part of the. He was a casting director, And you can look this up on IMDb. I mean, it's right there. I just made it up. And he went through the 350 girls that were applying for those roles. And, hey, come on, man. That ain't how you twerk. Show me. And, yeah, that's our main man.
The funny thing is, it's hard to imagine anyone watching Cuties, but a lot of people probably did. I'm sure the movie itself was honestly a big failure, but just the idea of it existing, like, honestly, if 100 people watched it, that's a lot to me. I can just honestly imagine Joe Biden, like, sitting down and watching.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's our president.
I can believe he sat down in the office and said, "Put something on for me." "Yes, Mr. President, you'll like this." And somebody turns it on for him.
Oh, no. It's probably specifically like, "Hey, put on that movie with them little girls. Come on, man.
You know the one. Come on, man. You know the one I'm talking about.
Come on, man. Come on, man."
They're talking French. They talking about me?
It says subtitles on. He's just watching.
Yeah. Hey, turn them off. I think they're talking about me.
Do you know who Dick Masterson is?
Yeah.
There was one day where he was defending Cuties on Twitter.
What? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because he's Jewish. I don't know. He was saying, like, the premise sounded funny and all these things, and he got ratioed real hard for that. But I just posted, like, the trailer for it, and then he said, "Why are you posting child porn on my timeline?" And I just said, "Doesn't this look funny to you?"
Yeah. That's what you've been defending. That's why, you know, smart people, they kind of, you don't have to be a contrarian all the time. Sometimes you can wait for the facts, for the data, and then make your determination. Mm-hmm. But no, he has to be there on the front page and being like, "I don't get it, guys. It's kind of a funny concept, isn't it?" It's not a funny concept. And, you know, lots of people quit their Netflix subscription because of it. Did it tank the company? No. But it's, you know, whatever's going on Netflix isn't hitting my home, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't matter because all these things compound. It's just like a cancellation over this, cancellation over that. And then eventually they've lost a bunch of subscribers. So from what I saw today is Netflix has 247 million subscribers. Now, apparently they're going to add 2 new plans. So there's going to be a standard one. I think it looked like it was $6 and it's with ads. And then, maybe that had a different name. And then there was a middle one that maybe that one was called standard and it was $12. And then there was a premium one for $23 a month. And it looks like that's going to have the original programming that people actually watch.
Yeah. Hey, computer, play Office, the American Office on repeat, please. Okay. Yes, we can do that for you.
$23 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
They don't have The Office on Netflix anymore.
Oh. Of course not. So not even like the things that college women will just play on repeat. They're just gone as well.
Yeah. So, oh man, go look at what's on Netflix these days. It's kind of crazy how little interesting things there are. Like everything that's on there it's terrible. And then there's like the three things. Then there's like Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Like that's, they, like they used to have a bunch of movies that you know you'd want to watch, but now they're all on their respective studio streaming services.
I heard they're creating another spinoff off of the spinoff of the spinoff with like what happened to Saul after the fact and how did Nacho turn out? And, you know, they're just milking everything that they can with that universe, right? They created this Albuquerque, New Mexico universe and I think it was with Hank, the DEA agent, something like that.
Well, I mean, a lot of those questions were answered.
Yeah, but you didn't know him as a young man now that he's an older man with makeup on.
But when you said what happened to Nacho.
Yeah, I know. No spoilers for the audience. But yeah, well, what happened to him when he was a young man? How did he gain his chops, you know? Like origin stories, I guess, is the word you're looking for.
You know what? I don't know what did happen to him when he was younger.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to learn how he made all of those what was he doing? He was like sewing like car seats or something.
Yeah.
I want to learn how did he become a seamstress?
He was a vato in a lowrider car. And then he suddenly became the chief hombre, man. But his father, he said, you're not doing a good path, man.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Southern California. I really had to blend in.
You spent a lot of time in East LA specifically.
Yeah, I did.
There's two types of Mexicans. Mexicans from Mexico and Mexicans from East LA. All Mexicans from East LA live in all parts of the country. It is kind of weird. Like the East LA Mexican accent is the accent of every Mexican that lives in America.
Yeah, it's like the Cholo one.
Yeah, they're either a gardener or a gang member.
Yeah.
No matter what, they're not good at what they do.
Correct.
I mean, you got to wonder about people that wear hairnets in public.
Yeah.
And they're not.
They're trying to tell you that they're in the food service industry. And then
I said they're not cooking food.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. But their cousin has like, you're a hipster liberal faggot, right? You always want to find the unknown nacho shop. You know what I mean?
Nacho shop? Is that a shop that's not mine? Nacho shop?
Gee whiz. Yes, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, you're pining for that authentic experience where there's like the mariachi music. And as soon as you pull into the lot, somebody starts to wash your windows. And you're like, hey, please, homie, I don't want no trouble, man. Well, throw me a fucking some dollars, vato, cabrón.
Do you remember when Mind of Mencia came on Comedy Central?
Oh, yeah. He's the funniest guy ever.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. Is it came on right after Dave Chappelle ended Chappelle's show.
Yeah.
So they really were clearly this show made by a brown person with racially charged humor was a huge hit. Well, let's see if we can recreate that. And then Mind of Mencia, I think that was the first time I'd ever watched a comedy show and not laughed once.
Yeah, that was probably before he was stealing jokes.
Well, he was stealing jokes at the time, but he wasn't stealing very good ones. I don't think he was ever funny, even when he stole jokes. He stole jokes from like Doug Stanhope. I think he stole jokes from Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he did. And yeah, that was part of the death squad is what Joe called his guys. And they'd approach him at the comedy store and be like, hey, man,
this ain't cool, hombre. It's all, you know.
He's not even Mexican. All of his humor was Mexican. He's actually not a Mexican.
Yeah, he's just doing an accent. He's doing like
he's half white and Puerto Rican.
Oh, gee whiz. Puerto Rican is always like some kind of retard mix of black and brown.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it. Yeah, the guy is he's just a mess.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mencia,
just a mess. Have you guys heard of this new game that's apparently come out called Pal World?
I've heard of Carlos Mencia Simulator.
Pal World, is that the furry one?
Yeah, it's the furry one. Here's the interesting thing is I started noticing it because games journalists and shitty developers like guys, the faggots over at Naughty Dog that want to re-release and remake The Lesbian of Us Part 2 over and over again are severely mad at this game. Now, it's got some weird shit. It's got a it's clearly, like, everybody's like, it's Pokemon with guns. I actually talked to some people I know IRL that played it, and they said it's more like Ark Survival with, a Pokemon mechanic. Because in the game, it's like, hey, imagine, like, Ark Survival, but with slavery and war crimes.
Isn't the game already out?
Yes, but it's early access.
Okay, because I was going to say Mr. Pickle played it. He said he liked it.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying they like it. They say, like, dude, like, you can do slavery and war crimes because you don't just capture the monsters. You can also capture, like, people. Like, there's a merchant you like. You can just go grab him up and keep him in your base. Yeah, you can put them all in a camp and make them work for you. Not even joking.
Nice.
There's weird ones like this one called Lovander, which apparently when the final or quote unquote release date got changed to PAL whatever entry number 69, and it's like it looks more and more like it's just a fucking joke. I saw where people translated the tweets made by the developer, like, well, why body type 1 and 2 said because American audiences like to make ugly things. Why guns? Because Americans want to shoot guns.
It is okay. You know what? All right, I'll take it back. Americans do like to make ugly things.
They do.
It is funny to make ugly things. I'll give it that. Make ugly things, but I mean that's no excuse for all the developers that make ugly things.
Yeah,
because them making ugly things. I make ugly things for my amusement. They make ugly things to indulge in their fantasies.
Yeah, a lot of it seems to be that. What it is, it seems to be like he was being Japanese, being very, very tongue-in-cheek about a lot of stuff. Like, you know, just because because Americans like to make ugly things, and as we've always, we talked ad nauseum on here, the Western gaming development, quote-unquote, sphere is a septic echo chamber, where the least amount of people, like the bottom of the barrel gets his side what gets made, but I've been looking at it, and I mean, like, it's definitely a mixed mass hodgepodge of things. I mean, people are saying, "Oh, it's like Pokemon, whatever." It's like, you know what? Maybe. I mean, there's things that definitely look like Pokemon there. Don't get me wrong, but also, I remember back when I was young, and there were complaints about whether or not Pokemon and Digimon ripping each other off.
Digimon sucks. They speak like actual, like fluent English, and they're very eloquent about it. They're hello, little boy, do you want me to go fight your battles for you? Like, I can't buy into the fantasy that it would be controlled by these little children when they're talking like butlers.
Yeah, exactly.
Digimon is 100%. It's 100% ripping off.
Yeah, I hate the TV show. I love the toy.
You know what it was? It was a counter reaction to Pokemon, and the cool kids in the neighborhood, they stuck to one, and then the ones where the parents just threw all the money at them, they had both. And it's like, all right, dude, you know.
And I put this article in the chat here. Like, literally, it's just a game journalist seething because it's gotten popular. Like, literally, it's titled, it's on Eurogamer.net, and it's titled, "Is Pal World Actually Any Good? Of course not." And if you're yet to hop on board wondering about what you're missing, you can relax. Pal World is big and controversial. It's also absolute rubbish. It's primitive and derivative, a game that appears at first glance almost to be completely fake. Type of thing quickly mocked up for a 3-second appearance on teen's PC monitor in the background of a mid-budget TV drama. A game to be played one-handed with an N64 by Tony Soprano, although honestly, I think even he deserved better. This journalist is just mad because literally he's like, you know what? This game, there was no hype about it. There was no build-up to it. And it's quote-unquote derivative, like... Every other fucking game hasn't been derivative. I mean, we were literally talking about...
Hold on. Specifically, every Pokemon game has been
derivative. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there have been Pokemon clones before that didn't get this level of hate. But
I thought a derivative was something you got on a stock.
Well, but...
Let me see.
I always reinvest my derivatives.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, like this guy literally, he just, instead, later in the thing, he just shits on the quote unquote cheeky humor and shit like that. He admits he hasn't gotten far. Instead, the thrill and Pal World, admittedly, I've yet to get too far or set anything elaborate going. Seems to come from the bottomless font of engagement that is false progression. Mash in some not Pokemon's faces, hit a rock, mine some ore, craft a club, or do just about anything and some XP will pop out. You level up your character, your pals, your base, improving your stats, and progressing through a mostly nonsensical skill tree, which I haven't seen, and so I doubt that. And the reason for Pal World's success is clear. Among other things, it's a compulsion loop. And he starts the next article, next paragraph off, saying that the problem is that Pal World just doesn't hide it.
Who cares? Well, let's get down to it. These people are just fucking mad that people like their game, and they're fucking pissed that no one likes these new faggy games that these retards like. That's what it comes down to. This game came out, and people are liking it because it's fun, but it's not about black people sucking each other off. That's all it comes down to. It's not about an ugly fat lesbian or some black guy saving the world from white supremacy. That's what it comes down to. Everything that they're saying, it's just words. It is word salad meant to make people think that this writer is smart and is making valid points, but he's just pissed that no one wants to buy the crap that his friends are making. Yeah. That's all
it's down to. It's amazing that you said that right now, because here is his ending statement. You will instead feel like you're playing a product designed to be sold rather than to be played. You will feel like a mark, and you'll be right. Like, we haven't felt about that about every single big budget game that this fucking faggot would put forward. Talking to guys who played it, like, there's one you can find called Depresso. He just always looks sad, and his thing is he, like, drinks caffeinated beverages and gets powers. Like, this just sounds like your average American retail worker.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's just funny as all hell. There's this weird one, number 69, called Lovander, that apparently is just like a furry porn thing.
Now, see, I would give more validity to this journalist if he was saying Pal World is some kind of weird furry fetish porn, and that's disgusting. But the guy who wrote it probably is a furry himself. At the time of writing it, he was probably sitting on a dildo chair. These people are all losers. Mm-hmm. They're all losers, and the only validation they get in life is from reinforcing the fake worldview that is the phoniest of liberalisms, TV liberalism. Mm-hmm. And if something isn't inherently political and just overtly liberal, they don't care. And that is an attack on who they are, because their lives are such a train wreck because they've ruined everything around them just mm-hmm. to have this fake liberal worldview that anything that might suggest that what they're doing is a problem or wrong, well, that might make them realize, okay, maybe I have been doing something wrong. Maybe I have been living a lie. And they can't have that. They need everything in the world to constantly remind everyone, including themselves and mostly themselves, that mm-hmm. everything has to be political and liberal or else. That's all it is. And then these people made this stupid game, and they're so mad that people like it. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. I hate these journalists so much. They are the biggest pieces of shit on the planet. And this is the most insane thing. Like, they make less than minimum wage to be these parasites. They live substandard living doing this because they need to convince themselves that the fake world that they live in is correct. It's mm-hmm. so annoying. I hate them so much.
Well, Rollo, did you hear the latest?
Oh, here's no, tell me.
Here's why Sudoku is problematic.
Oh, do go on, please.
Those who are number divergent struggle to count from 1 to 9, and they don't understand why they can't put the same number in different boxes.
Now, I have to ask you, is this a bit that you made up, or is this something that someone actually said?
You know, Rollo, the fact that you even have to ask shows you how clown world we are. But yeah, well, I made that one up.
Well, I was going to say, if that's real, that's because someone saw their black friend struggling to do level 1 of Sudoku.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, this can't be. This can't be. We need to do something. This is so problematic. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I made it up, but I didn't. You know, this is
you made it. No. Well, hold on. You made it up, but it's real.
Yeah, it was real in my mind.
Real in the real world.
Yes. Yeah. It is. And yeah. You know, it's with everything. You know, this new boxing game Creed. There's no boxers that are in a wheelchair. What's going on? This isn't very helpful, you know?
Yeah, I've noticed that there is a lack of boxers in wheelchairs in this new boxing game.
Yeah, and I've been led to believe that wheelchair-bound people can do anything. I mean, there are people that demand that all your dungeons in D&D be wheelchair accessible.
Yeah, I want two Christopher Walken types. fuck you. And then he slides over and punches. No, you are going down. That kind of thing.
You met Christopher Reeve, but do you remember in the episode of Arrested Development where Mabee was trying to prove that beauty competitions are all superficial, and she can prove that even though like she's great on the inside, she'll never get anywhere. So she wore a prosthetic on her nose and was in a wheelchair and made herself ugly. And then she ended up winning the beauty competition because everyone was
a big titty fest.
Yes. Yeah. That again, she's shocked that's the reality is these people, they live in this world and they think that we can go out and do whatever we want. And they're constantly marginalized because of all this stupid gay stuff that they make up.
Mm-hmm. More like margarinized because they're trans fats.
Yeah, well said, Bobbert.
Sorry. Just
No.
That was perfect, actually.
Yeah, no, it was well said. Like there's things that people say, and then there was that. And that was
that definitely might be a show title.
That was said. That was what, they're margarinized because they're trans fats.
They're trans and they're fat. How about that?
Yeah. They are trans and they're fat. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's almost like they become trannies to prove that, like, to prove us wrong. Like, all the things that we say about trannies. They're like, oh, yeah, well, I'll show you that I won't kill myself. I'll chop up my dick right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll show you.
It's like the attitude of a child. Era? Of the era, yes. But it's the attitude of a child. Like, I'll hurt myself with drugs and alcohol to get back at my father.
Feel? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'll hurt myself. Yeah, I focus on, like, the pain. It's the only thing that's real.
That's what I've noticed as well.
Yeah. And you guys can have it all, like my empire of dirt, you know?
No, you're super triggering me.
I'm not. I'm on board. Like, these are of all the things that
it's like hitting all my teenage memories.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, but the thing is, you grew up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then these people are like, oh yeah, you don't want me to, you know, do crystal meth? Oh yeah, well, I'm gonna do it here. And make it a meth contaminated property to drop my property value, Dad. How does that feel? It's like, great, wow, dude. You can punch out all the drywall you want as well. It's just that's the transgender mind.
I think these people do it. The reason that all of these people do everything that they do is because the fantasy world they live in is nothing like the reality world they have to deal with every day. That's why all these people are addicted to porn, and they're addicted to drugs, and they're addicted to alcohol, and they're addicted to everything that keeps them from just facing reality. Because when they go out in the real world, when they see a black person, one, they can't read, and two, they're robbing someone. And when they see a white person, that white person is always nice, and they're the only non-racist people they know. Mm-hmm. But they espouse all these platitudes because they need it to be real, and it never is. Mm-hmm. So they do whatever kind of escapism that they can. And video games that are about liberalism is the perfect thing for them, because it's another escape, but it's an escape that enforces their worldview. So no matter what, like, they stay in the liberal fake world bubble. So when they play a game like PAL World, it's not like, do you remember at E3 when they showed the first trailer for The Last of Us 2?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
No, I don't.
Okay, so pop quiz, Ruckus, what was the first clip that they showed in that trailer?
Wasn't it the two girls kissing?
It was the two lesbians dancing and talking about how bad one of them smells. It's like a Jewish girl and like some other woman. Yeah, they're dancing, and the Jew is like, I smell really bad. and that was basically the trailer for The Last of Us 2.
Perfect. And the audience erupted in applause.
The audience erupted in confusion.
Yeah.
And everybody that watched at home was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. What the fuck are these? I did say that. Yeah.
Because The Last of Us 1, for all of the gay stuff in it, it was still a game. Like, it had combat. It had stealth aspects. It had, it was a game. And then this was just like
DLC.
Yeah. So this was like, it's all out out in the front. This is what you're getting into. And then Pal World isn't that. And they're mad because they need you. Are. Bobby, what's that thing about misery that you always tell me?
Misery loves company.
There you go.
It's funny you mentioned that, Rolo, because literally the developer, the games developer with Naughty Dog that helped develop all that gay shit in The Last of Us, DLC and Part 2, literally was seen as tweeting saying, "This game was made through nefarious means. I don't know how, just call it dev instinct." He's deleted the tweet. But of course, the internet never forgets, so. I mean, there he said it was made through nefarious means. I just have my developer instinct. No, you're just a fag and you hate that something is really, really popular.
Yeah. You know?
And keep in mind, like you said, like these people, like it's not enough for them to do. So I've used this term before and it's in something I'm going to put forward in a bit. But I've told people we live in like what's considered like a Grendel society. Yeah, I believe I told you guys about that before.
Grendel society?
That'd be nice. No, Grendel, you are aware of the story.
That would be nice.
That'd be nicer than what we're living in, but. But now you remember the story of Beowulf?
Where Ray Winston is naked and he shouts, "I am Beowulf."
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Well, in the original story, the problem is that the monster Grendel, what it is it's an outsider. It's a monster. And it hates and is actually pained by the sounds of the normal good people having a good time. That's why it starts attacking the meat hall and killing everyone. Like, literally, because Grendel doesn't stay in the meat hall. Grendel goes back to its fucking swamp, but comes out to lash out at anybody else having fun. These freaks are the modern day Grendels, because there are games that they could play and have fun. But their thing isn't about having fun. It's about making sure that none of us have fun.
Yes. And that's the misery loves company hypothesis, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your kid is all normal. And then one of the kids that has been trained to be a troon is like, "Hey, little Billy, don't you ever feel like you might have been a girl or something? I don't know. Because you're so, you know, you're kind of sensitive and you have emotions. Doesn't that mean you're a woman?" And Billy's like, "No, I think I'm good." "Well, come on, think about it. You might be it." And that's what it is. Somebody is uncomfortable in their own skin and they want to make you uncomfortable. I've had, you know, people who have big issues with their parents try to be like, "Come on, talk some shit about your parents." And it's like, No, I don't actually have all that much, so take it easy, you know. I hope you do better, but you know, it's not enough to comfort them. They want to drag you down to their level and then beat you with experience. When they go low, you go high. Michelle Obama, Bulge World.
that was the magazine where that famous quote was from.
yes it was.
World.
I get an issue every Sunday. Come on.
You know, man. I'll be looking forward to when this game actually comes out on PlayStation, because it looks fun enough. Like I said, somebody's like, "Hey, listen, Pokemon, but it has guns and also war crimes." So it's more like Breath of the Wild than Pokemon, more like Ark. It's like Ark and Pokemon, but dude, listen, war crimes and slavery. Like, dude, I'm on board.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody actually got mad about the fact that, like, with all the crafting shit you could do with Breath of the Wild, like, you could do stuff to enemies, put them in, like, shock chambers straight out of the Nuremberg trials.
Nice.
Yeah. Literally, you can just commit war crimes with that. It's hilarious, and that's apparently what this developer was going for when it did. Like, just make this fun, stupid shit that people enjoy. So, yeah. I mean, I'll definitely check it out when I can get my hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're Yeah, there is the weird furry pal here, Lovander, number 69. And it drops cake when it's killed. Yeah, everything is looks like a South Park-esque tongue-in-cheek joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Other than that, I think we've gone long enough, guys. Bobby, what are you playing this week?
Well, I am intent on going back and completing the RoboCop. I got kind of diverted for a little bit, but people have been telling me, you know, on the Odyssey there that I gotta finish it, you know, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Oh, they have a new game plus now, actually, just came out.
Okay.
So one of my biggest complaints about it is
better than playing with your prick.
Yes, indeed. And then there was this other game I was playing. Let's see. What's it called, huh? It's called RoboQuest.
Hmm.
It was on sale, and a buddy picked it up, so we were going to do some co-op with that. It has, like, Borderlands-style graphics, and you jump on their heads and kill them and smash them with a hammer and shoot them with a rifle. So looks interesting enough for some hours, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Rolo, what games are you 100% in this week?
I'm actually I've been doing the old Metal Gear Solid. I'm currently playing the VR missions. Like those are pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I've never done them before for Metal Gear Solid 1. I've mostly done the old Metal Gear Solid 2 VR missions, which I played a lot of. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just doing the Metal Gear Solid 1 with all of its frustrating controls.
Mm.
Wow. And VR too, huh?
Mm, yeah.
And no, and not in VR. They're just called VR missions.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Don't believe anything.
Okay. Mm. Sounds good.
Sounds like good. Myself, I didn't get to it because I was reading just the EULA and wanted to do some research on it after seeing this, but I am going to give Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader a try. I mean, Alcat did fine with the Pathfinder games, and I've heard people say that this is just as good, so it's not like it's some untested new people getting their hands on the thing, so I'm pretty sure it'll be good. And I think I'll enjoy it plenty. On that, I also had to remod Skyrim because since they did that's how bad Bethesda's like Starfield did is like Bethesda's done an update to Skyrim and it unfortunately I'm on a PlayStation, so like half the mods like didn't support the new updates, so like half my mods didn't work, and then one other mod that I wanted to try out, the only version that remains accessible through their BethesdaNet on PlayStation, is in French, so I may have to teach myself French.
Oh, no way, dude.
Yeah, that's easy to do. Anyone can do that, right?
Yeah, so I may just have to go ahead. I mean, me and my kids will be learning French through playing Skyrim with the French perk overhaul mod.
Ruckus, the only French word you know is buffet.
That is not true. I also know baguette and faggot.
One of those is not a French word. I'm not sure which one, though.
I think it's a bundle of cigarettes or something.
Yeah, that's the one. That's baguette. The other one is a kind of person you don't want to be around.
Okay.
A Frenchman?
There you go.
Yes, a faggot. That's been fun. But all right, people. Remember, game responsibly. Vote with your dollar. Get the Great Rebellion. It's coming out in February. Get it on Steam, get it on their website, at least wish list on Steam. You're going to get it on the website in case Steam delisted by being a bunch of faggots. I doubt Valve will. You know, they have a very, quote unquote, notorious reputation for not actually taking anything that's given to them seriously. But other than that, make white babies. This is a threat.